Bharat Punjabi Hari. Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varan Hari. Jai Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varan Hari. Sri Gaga Bhavacha,
said,
Yadunam
of the Yadu dynasty,
Aham,
I am.
Acharyaha,
the priestly guide or Purohita.
Kyatacha,
this is already known.
Bhuvi,
everywhere.
Sarvada,
always.
Sutam,
the sun.
Maya,
by me.
Sanskritam,
having undergone the purificatory process.
Te,
of you.
Matute,
would be considered.
Devaki Sutam,
the son of Devaki.
Sri Garga Uvacha,
Yadunam Mahamacharya,
Yatascha Bhuvi Sarvada,
Sutam Maya Sanskritam
Te,
Manyate Devaki Sutam,
Sri Garga Uvacha,
Yadunam Mahamacharya,
Yatascha Bhuvi Sarvada,
Sutam Maya Sanskritam
Te,
Manyate Devaki Sutam,
Sri Garga Uvacha,
Yadunam Mahamacharya,
Yatascha
Bhuvi Sarvada,
Sutam Maya Sanskritam
Te,
Manyate Devaki Sutam,
Yadunam Mahamacharya,
Yatascha
Bhuvi Sarvada,
Sutam Maya Sanskritam
Te,
Manyate Devaki Sutam,
Yadunam Mahamacharya,
Yatascha Bhuvi Sarvada,
Sutam Maya Sanskritam
Te,
Manyate Devaki Sutam,
Yadunam Mahamacharya,
Yatascha Bhuvi Sarvada, disclosed
that Krishna was the son of Devaki, not of Yashoda. Since Kamsa was already searching for Krishna, if the purificatory process were undertaken by Gargamuni, Kamsa might be informed, and that would create a catastrophe. It may be argued that although Gargamuni was the priest of the Yellow Dynasty, Nanda Maharaj also belonged to that dynasty. Nanda Maharaj, however, was not acting as a Kshatriya. Therefore, Gargamuni said, "If I act as your priest, this will confirm that Krishna is the son of Devaki." Om jnana chamanandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun nilatam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with a torch of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Purana. So I thought we would kind of move back a little bit from the particular verse here and look at some of what's been going on all together in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Gargamuni here, of course, is expressing his apprehension that it will be revealed that Krishna is the son of Devaki. Kamsa had gotten that warning. He was warned right when Vasudeva and Devaki were being married that the eighth child of Devaki would kill him. The eighth son of Devaki would kill him. And we know the story now. He was only pacified. He was about ready to kill Devaki, but he only stopped when Vasudeva promised to deliver all the sons to him, and he could do then what he wanted. So what he did was he killed those first six sons, Kshatriya. Really a horrendous act. And then the seventh son was Baladeva, and he was drawn to the womb of Rohini. One of the reasons he's called Sankarshan. Sankarshan means to pull. And so he was. He appeared in Vrindavan, but he was also the son of Devaki. He had two mothers. But it was known that he was the son of Vasudeva, because Rohini was one of Vasudeva's other wives. And then when Krishna appeared, Vasudeva broke his promise. He did not deliver Krishna. Krishna appeared with a forearm. He was clearly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the prayers were offered, as you recall, by Vasudeva and Devaki as well. But what's so interesting, and this is the theme that I'm going to speak a little bit about here, is that there's this dual understanding. There's no question that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the creator of all, he's all-powerful. He's there in a small form with forearms. And yet, at the end of this, these prayers that Vasudeva and Devaki are uttering, the yoga maya comes down, and Devaki is praying, "Please, turn yourself into a little child, because otherwise Kamsa will think that the Supreme Personality has come, and hide yourself somewhere." So what do we have to feel with Kamsa? Kamsa is just an ordinary demon of this material world. Krishna can kill him with a flick of his finger, even as a child. And yet, this parental mood of protection, which is the central mood of any mother to a child, or any parent to a child, is evolved even there to Devaki and Vasudeva. And so we know the story. Vasudeva broke his promise to deliver all the sons, and due to the arrangement of Yogamaya, all of these guards were put to sleep, and the shackles were opened, and everything was arranged for him to take the boy to Vrindavan, Gokula, and exchange for the female daughter that had been born to Yashoda. There's also some explanation from the Acharyas how Krishna is the real son of Yashoda, but we won't get into that right now. And then when he came back, placed this child in the bassinet, the baby key, and everything was back where it was before. And the guards heard the child crying, and they warned Kamsa. He rushed in, and he tried to kill this child. This is Durga. You can't kill Durga. And she got went into the sky and chastised him. You fool, you can't kill me. The child who is going to kill you is born somewhere else. Actually, it just says it was born already. But it's understood it's somewhere else because he's not there. So this created great confusion in Kamsa because it was the eighth son who was supposed to kill him. And he was supposed to be his son of Devaki, but actually had a third daughter. So he said, I can't even believe the omens anymore. Right? He said, he's the omens. So he was confused. And after he was chastised by Durga, he became very humble. And he apologized, remember? To Devaki and Vasudeva. So this is, the demons do that sometimes. But they can't be trusted. And sure enough, by the association of his evil ministers, he was convinced to start his persecutions. And they went all over it. It's horrific. They're killing Brahmins. It's meant right here in the Bible. They're trying to stop all the sacrifices and all the things that saintly people, the devotees do in order to worship Vishnu. And they have this crazy logic that if they don't worship Vishnu, then he'll die, he'll have no potency. Stupid argument. But Kamsa bought it. He wanted to die. And so he started these predations, you know. So, but Krishna, the focus shifts now to Vrindavan. And we've already had three demons killed by baby Krishna. He's now just 1 year old. Putana, Shakatasra, and Trinavarta. They've all been killed by Krishna. And yet, after each time, the parents, and this is now the mood of Vrindavan, which is not aware of Krishna's divinity, they don't believe that somehow he's divine. It's just the good fortune of the gods, and they perform all of these protective mantras, and they get the Brahmins to chant protective prayers, and they cover Krishna in cow dung and cow urine, and all of these things are going on. So this has already happened, and we'll see after a little while they leave Gokula and move to Vrindavan, because the best thing to do to this place is to leave it, because wherever we are with Krishna, all these demons are coming. So, but that's in the future. So now we have this pastime here where Garga Muni comes to do the main giving ceremony. And we have a similar thing going on, is that Garga Muni knows who Krishna is. And yet he's also getting into this mood of doing it in a secret way so that Kamsa won't find out. And Prabhupada is also getting into the mood. It was so interesting yesterday at the end of the purport. Nanda Maharaj took advantage of the opportunity of Garga Muni's presence by requesting him to perform the necessary reformatory activities for his sons to guide them toward the destination of life. They themselves are the destination of life. This is Prabhupada's purport. But he's also getting into this mood of these are just two little boys and they need reforming and need protection and all these things. So, now this danger comes in, is that if Garga Muni performs this open, very, very elaborate ceremony, and this would ordinarily be very elaborate, all the Brahmins singing many mantras, it would be very suspicious, because why is he doing it for Krishna? Now, it's not understood that Balaram is the son of Vasudeva, but here he's got this Krishna also. And he would be understood, oh, this is the son of Devaki, because it's Garga Muni, the priest of the others. So that would bring all of the danger. And Kamsa would focus now on that point of Vrindavan. Now, he's got his minions, his demons, shape-shifting demons, which we keep encountering here, going all over, right? You remember their plan was, well, I have to kill all the babies who were born in the last 10 days or a little more. And this way, all over the area. So then they would forget about the area, they would just focus on this. And this is the problem, that he would create a catastrophe. What's that catastrophe? Krishna would be killed. But of course, Krishna can't be killed. But so this is the shifting back and forth. You have the understanding that Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the mood of protecting him, because he's just a little child, he's in this form of a little human child, overwhelms that understanding, and they feel afraid. Not for themselves, but for Krishna. And this is part of the wonder of Bhakti Yoga as taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. And that is that you can actually regard the Lord
not as our protector and our savior and our you know, the all-powerful controller and everything, which is good. That's the Ras. But also as a friend or as a little child or even as a lover. And that mood we see throughout the Bhagavatam, this whole, you know, the first couple of chapters, the prayers of the demigods, the glory of God is there. Even though he's just in the womb of Devaki, he's the Supreme Personality of God. We finished 9 cantos. There's no doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And yet now we're going to see his sweetest, most attractive pastimes, where Yoga Maya helps the devotees to forget that, and they can feel anxiety for him, they can feel protection. Mother Yashoda is always in the anxiety of maternal affection, right? Or the Kaliya pastime, where they practically on the point of death out of worry. This delicate little child is wrapped in this multi-rooted poisonous snake that's taken over and poisoned the Yamuna. You know? So this is the Vrindavan Leela. It's never a dull moment. It's never like an ordinary day or even an ordinary moment. Krishna is always churning the emotions of the Vrindavasis. You know, intense love, separation, and then he comes back from the forest. I was recently reviewing one of his ashokas that Rupa Goswami wrote, and it's just a meditation on Krishna coming back from the forest into the village of Vrindavan. And it's a peon, if you will, to it's increasing anticipation for something that practically you feel your life is coming back. You know, sometimes you see in the Bhagavatam, when Krishna appeared, it's as if the life entered into the body again and the senses all woke up. And this is a daily affair. This is what they do all the time. And, you know, you can imagine, they have these little, I forget what they call them, Chandra Shila, something on the top of the house where they can go up to the top and they can see a little farther. And so Mother Yashoda rushes up when it gets to be a little while, late afternoon, and then she's at the top there looking where that little hint of dust from the cows, because there's all these cows, you know, that's what they see. Is that the flute sound that they're hearing? You know? And as soon as they get the first indication, it describes that their hearts are beating faster, and everyone is very, you know, eager, and the gopis rush out as a body from their houses to see Krishna. You know? And they're not thinking, oh, here comes the Supreme Personality of God. You know? They're thinking, here comes my little boy, you know, he survived another day, Mother Yashoda said, Balaram protected him, you know. He wasn't hurt by, there's a list, you know, the sharp horned animals, he didn't hurt his feet, you know, by stepping on thorns and all these things, and Krishna's coming back. And this is daily, it's going on every day. So that's the Vrindavan mood, but sometimes the veil is pulled away. And they see, like Mother Yashoda, this chapter is called What Krishna Shows His Universal Form. We had a little hint of it at the end of the previous chapter, if you recall. And then it'll be a little more detail here. So what happens there? So first of all, it's like, you know, an ordinary event. In other words, you may find the little kids playing, right? The youngest of them eats some dirt. And the one who's a little older tells on him to the mother, right? Trying to get him in trouble, right? And so the young one, he says, oh, my older brother's lying. You know, so this is what's going on. Krishna says it about Balaram and the other boys. So Mother Yashoda is very upset because Krishna will get ill if he eats dirt. Right? Same thing happened with Lord Chaitanya, right? He also ate dirt. And so then he opens his mouth and suddenly the veil is pulled away and she sees the whole universe. She sees all the three modes of material nature and she sees the pradham and she sees all the universes and she sees herself there. She says, oh, I'm such a fool. I'm thinking this is my child, not this is my husband. And now I realize it's the Supreme Personality of God. And immediately, you know, Krishna pulls the veil back again so that her mood will be restored. Now, what do we glean from this, you know, in our practical performance of Krishna consciousness? So we have both things. Srila Prabhupada gave us both things in his vast writings, in his teachings, in his sampradaya. That we're meant to read the Bhagavad Gita. We're meant to study that daily. Ahamsa Sakotabo. We're not meant to forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. But then again, You know, in the process of deity worship, don't we have to be in anxiety that the offering may be late? Why? So Krishna may be hungry. He's not going to get the offering on time. Right? We have to do the chanda because it's going to be hot. Krishna's going to be hot. Well, he has 100 million air conditioners at his disposal, and yet he'll be hot unless we put the chanda on. So therefore, we're also meant to start evoking that mood that Krishna is, he needs, you know, what we're going to give him. While at the same time understanding that it's his blessing that he's giving us a chance to serve. So this is a very interesting, it's paradoxical unless you understand the philosophy. That actually this forgetfulness of Krishna's divinity in the more intimate services that we can do is his blessing. This is the greatest blessing. And this is his greatest pleasure. I was reading recently, I try to cultivate, you know, always remembering verses. And I had never memorized these verses, some of them are famous. The encounter with Devasa Muni and Lord Narayan in the pastime with Amarish. Amarish was such a great devotee, and but he was envied by Devasa. Now Devasa is like an expansion of Shiva, right? He's very powerful, but he has that hair trigger temper. You know, if he's crossed a little bit, he will become furious. And if he's not honored enough, same thing happens. So he was envious of Ambarish because he's after all an ordinary king, pounds, chilling, tense man, you know. But he was a great devotee, and he was receiving all this honor. Shakya, I'm a great yogi. Why shouldn't I get as much? You know. So he conspired. He arranged to bring on a so-called offense from Ambarish. And he retaliated way out of proportion. You know, there was this, only a fool would think it was an offense to someone to drink water and thus break a Kadashi fast before the guest comes to eat. You know. Anyway, you know the story. So Ambarish, Durvasa created this Kritya, which is like this female fiery demoness, to go and completely incinerate Ambarish. A little bit of an overreaction, huh? But Ambarish was completely protected by Krishna, by the chakra, by Narayan's chakra, which then went after Devasa. Devasa, he didn't show the same indifference and fearlessness that Ambarish did. This is the glory of the devotee. Oh, it's Krishna's will, you know? He didn't move an inch. Imagine if, you know, you're confronted by a huge conflagration that's coming back down on you. You just say, this is Krishna's will, and you burn the ashes. That's advancement, you know. So he was protected, of course, but Durvasa was totally afraid. He was terrified, right? He was on the bodily concept of what? So he runs. He eventually goes up. He can't get any help from Brahma and Shiva. He goes up and he surrenders to Vishnu. It's your chakra, Narayan, please remove it. And then Narayan chants this verse, which is remarkable. What is it? Aham bhakta paradi no yasvatantra idvat vija sadhavi grasta vidiho bhakta bhakta janapriya. So he says, I'm not independent. I'm asvatantra. I'm controlled by my devotees. Because the sadhus, devotees, the pure devotees, have captured me within their heart. And not only the devotees, but those who are dear to devotees also control me. The point is, he's making that point here. And then you got some other verses, which and the most famous one, sadhavodhim mayam sadhanamudhim taham. Madam yate na janati, naam hiryo manavati. That I am in the sadhus' hearts, and the sadhus are in my hearts. They don't know anything but me, and I don't know anything but them. So this is Krishna's desire. He wants to be controlled by the love of his devotees. He can't be controlled by anything else. But it's his pleasure to be controlled by the love of his devotees. This is the higher, you know, this is what's going on in the Dhamma. So he allows himself. Now, the most attractive child of pastimes, how, you know, it's described in the Krishna book, in the Tenkana, how the gopis would tease Krishna, you know, dance, and then we'll give you a sweetie, right? And he would dance for them, and they would give him a little sandesh, and it would be in complete bliss. So it's exactly like that. It was mother, you know, bring me this, bring me that, and he would bring everything. So, you know, this is inconceivable for the ordinary religionist, theologian, but to speak of the impersonalist. This conception of God is completely ununderstandable by anyone who doesn't get a little of the mercy of the Lord. This was explained by Brahma. Prabhupada would often quote this verse. What is that? Atapite deva, padamudhya, prasavane shanyubita hevihi. Janati shaktam bhagavan mahimno, nachani eko kichadam chinma. So now Brahma, he had direct experience here. He was puzzled because of Krishna's little childhood aspect. It didn't compute that this little child was also Narayan, his father, right? Because he was born out of Narayan, and the creator of all. So you know the pastime. He challenged Krishna with his little power, tried to test him. And then at the end, after he was bewildered, he offered these prayers. So what this prayer means is, without at least a little drop of your mercy, your grace, your Lord's feet, by serving your Lord's feet, one cannot understand your glory, Bhagavan Mahima. No one else can understand, even after cogitating or studying the Vedas for a long, long time. Chidam Vachinva means he's not accessible through reason, through intellect, or through any other process. Dhyan, ordinary yoga, to speak of karma. Krishna is completely inaccessible, especially in this intimate way. So, but if we approach it, and it doesn't matter what kind of family you're born in, Brahmin, Shudra, or outcast, that's not a consideration. We heard a lot about that yesterday. What is important is the willingness to approach Krishna in the way that he has been approached by his dear devotees already, and that's the necessity of approaching and surrendering to a pure devotee, one who is already in a compact, in an intimate relationship with Krishna. And then that person can give you the means by which you can also get the grace of Krishna and begin to understand. And to the degree that we fully surrender, it's the most paradoxical thing. It's kind of out of the looking glass. We're in the looking glass now, everything is upside down. When we come out of it, it looks like it's backwards from our material point of view. What I mean is that the understanding is that, okay, you know the philosophy, that we're bound up in this material world, we're suffering birth, old age, disease, and death, and the only way out is by getting the grace of Krishna and going back to God. Right? So the prophet spoke on these points a million times. Threefold misery, birth, old age, disease, and death. We don't want that. We want to be free of that, and therefore we should practice devotional service. But when you think about it, all of those motivations are actually self-centered. I want freedom from all of this misery and suffering, and I want the bliss of Krishna consciousness. I want. Right? Okay. So that's good. This is the first step. You have to understand that. Otherwise, you would, in the waves of trying to enjoy this world, you'd suffer from being diverse. But as you progress in devotional service, as you actually take part in the process, you realize that this I want has to be reformed. That the way to really achieve this goal that you've begun on is to forget about what you want and try to understand what Krishna and his pure devotee wants. Pure devotees want. And be focusing on the desires of the Lord. Absorb the mind, in Krishna and his personality and what he wants. And that's actually the path back to God. The devotee, it said, he doesn't want anything. He doesn't even want liberation. Right? That's one of the symptoms. Now, he doesn't want liberation if it's devoid of service. He'll accept it, salokya sashri, okay. But what he really wants, he offers the prayer, if you really want to offer me a benediction, then give me the benediction to have no material desires. No, that Kamanam Vidyasam go home. That they won't even take root in my heart. This is a proper prayer. Or what Yesenia taught us. You know, I don't want any, you know, I don't want wealth, women, followers, even liberation. I just want your unmotivated devotion to my life. So, ultimately, the bliss comes when you forget about the bliss. The liberation comes when you forget about the liberation. Then you're actually liberated. When you're simply absorbed in Krishna and his pastimes, his name, his service, serving his devotees. Service means you're thinking about the desires of someone else, the needs of someone else, not yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's the... Now, on Krishna's side, he's also saying that. That my desire is to serve the needs of my devotees. That's what he was just saying. I don't know anything but that. So he's telling Vasa, I can't... You offended him, you have to go back to Ambarish and get his grace. And what happens when he does it? Ambarish then prays to the chakra, please give up this. Don't hurt him. But he didn't feel offended. A real pure devotee himself doesn't feel offended. Others who may see that, they're very angry that the pure devotee is offended. But the great devotee is thinking, I'm the lowest of the low. How can someone offend me? You see? So this is the mood of Vrindavan. They're thinking of Krishna's needs. And because Krishna is in this form and this aspect of a little helpless little child, this whole potential mood comes in. This is Yoga Maya. So that they can serve Krishna in this way. You both. So this is what's going on here. And it keeps going back and forth. And, you know, when the demons come and Krishna shows them, somehow they have to, you know, figure out, by great fortune, somehow or other, that Krishna did this. It's not that he's God. It's not that he's Narayana. And even when Garamuni is going to give the names, he's going to perform the ceremony, and he speaks these nice verses that, oh, this child had so many colors in the previous ages. He's just like Narayana. Anyone who's attached to this, associated with him, will not have any fear, you know. And Madhavarth is so happy. He's got a child who's just like Narayana. But he's not Narayana. He doesn't think that his child is God. So this is, it's a wonderful pastime. We're allowed to see this. But we should also see that we should aspire to enter into that mood of being able to approach Krishna in this intimate way. Actually, with the deity worship, that's part of what we're doing. Of course, we're meant to see as Lakshmi Narayana. But also, the idea of we need to feed Krishna, we need to clothe them, keep them cool, keep them hot, warm enough in winter, and cool enough in summer, that somehow we can protect him from the difficulties of this life, living in this world. So that he's allowing us to do that and trying to evoke that more intimate mood. So, it's gotten a little late. We think we have a little time for questions, and if we run out of questions, I'll give you a few poems. Thank you very much for your attention. Any questions or comments on these few points? Prabhu, Tripa.
So this pastime of Lord Krishna wanted is once in a day of life.
These pastimes?
Yes. Once in a day of life. Yes. 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 This is a little hard, right? What, like the other Kaliyugas, then what's the Dharma, what's the Yuga Dharma?
The Yuga Dharma is still chanting, isn't it?
Same holy name, and born Narayana. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur says, when the Absolute Truth is identifying as Narayana, that time Lakshmi and Vishnu is the Shakti. Uh-huh. And when Absolute Truth is identifying as Krishna, then Vadadara is the Shakti. Uh-huh. So then he says that every Kali Yuga, the Gold Narayana comes, and Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the same.
But Narayana means a golden.
Golden. Golden. Okay. Same Mahaprabhu. Yeah. Yeah. But there is one thing, Anarpita Charanjira, that Braja Bhav was not given.
Gotcha.
That is the special.
Yeah. See, because that is that verse, Anugrahaya Bhaktanam, Manasham Dayamastaha, Vajateta Shikrida Yashutatatarogave, that to show mercy to my devotees, I appear in my original human like form and I enact those pastimes, these sweet pastimes. Having once heard them, one will approach him and surrender. So he comes to renew the memory of the of these very sweet, special Vrindavan original pastimes, only once in a day of Brahma. So that's it. So now what does that mean for us again? I always like, well, look how fortunate we are. Like practically yesterday, a split second before, Krishna was there, and even more recently, Lord Chaitanya was there. So we're practically contemporaries. So just like, you know, they recently had this super lottery. I don't know if you follow those things. Yeah. $600 million, something.
I don't.
And we have a winner. But, you know, and then they said, okay, it was three tickets, you know. And one by one, they announced, it was a news story, oh, this one was cash, this one was cash. But then it took a few weeks before the last one was cash, did. So the point is, we won the lottery. Much more than the $600 million. Forget about that. Yeah. Here we are, contemporaries, practically contemporaries of Lord Chaitanya. Just yesterday, Krishna was on the planet. All Prabhupada came, he gave us these books, the deities, everything is there. We have a golden opportunity to cash in the ticket. We're human beings, right? Many non-human beings can't take advantage. And we have had the great, you know, advantage of having a good association and getting the seed of devotion. So we should follow through and complete the course. This is why there's so many verses. You know, we've attained a human form, you know, after many, many births. And it's like temporary, like other forms, but it can give the ultimate goal, artadham. So therefore, one should be dhira. The key is we should consider with deep intelligence. And then quickly, without delay, durnam yateta, strive for the greatest good, nikshaya yasaya. Because this body, like all bodies, is threatened with death at all moments, and with you. It means like death is following behind you at all times. So try for nikshayasa, the ultimate good. You know, really strive with all your might. Because in all these other forms, we've had all kinds of sense gratification. We've already been there, done that. You know, what's the point? So that's, you know, we should appreciate it like that. What great fortune we have in this movement. And by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas, we've been given the greatest chance. I sometimes, you know, the internet is obviously a two-edged sword. But because of the internet and all the digital media and everything, this is the golden age of availability of Shastra. I think we have an opportunity to if you want to access Srila Prabhupada's books and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's books and Bhaktivinoda, all the acharyas. Everything is there for us. You know? But we need to get that taste and cultivate the taste. That's the idea. Go ahead, Prabhupada.
The verse, previous chapter, the last verse, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur quotes that this was motivated King Parikshit. Because this pastime is not chronological, little gap. So it says, Jayata Putana Muksham Ananta Dhuta Vishwaram Sunaya Swadhaya Manto Lavate Govinde Lavate Ratim. Because when Parikshit Maharaj heard that, oh, the deep attachment to the Govinda's lotus feet, I will hear. Then he was so excited seeing this Sukhdev Goswami is quoting only Dhiman Leela. So that's why the Sagara Sur is on 30 days, or 81 days according to Dhiman Goswami. But it's alright, I mean, 3 months. Then Trinabhakta 1 year. But this Namakaran is, or giving name is 100 days exactly.
100 days after the birth.
Dhiman Goswami died.
Acha.
Because they were still under the supervision of Kamsa's, probation, like
something. You mean Devaki and Vasudev were under the
supervision? Devaki and Vasudev. So they are putting in the wall every day, 1, 2, 3, and they are tasting Krishna's beauty and everything in separation.
Achha.
So in that separation, they do not speak to anybody because they are worried that in case somebody finds out that my son is actually there, both sons, then it will be big chaos. So they never wanted to talk, just within themselves. And they're tasting this beauty what they saw in separation. Until it came 99 days, then Vasudeva was very worried. Oh, I cannot have this idea of racism or what you call casteism is also impurified because bhakti is predominating there. So he thought immediately, Nanda Maharaj is Vaishya, I am Kshatriya, I cannot let him, his Bhaguni Muni or somebody comes to do this name giving or Annaprasana or even wedding. He was so worried, so immediately he went at night to Gargacharya's house and he revealed. Until that, Bhaguni Muni did not know that Nanda Maharaj's son is actually his son. So he told him, please, humility, but nobody knows besides my wife, only you are the one. So when Gargamuni went, he was a little nervous. He knows that God appeared here, but Nanda Yashoda had no clue. So he's trying to make this scenery that where he has to utter all these names, no Brahmana should be there, scholar, pandit, because they may think, why are you giving the name of God to his son? So he says, it has to be somewhere. So how he's going to figuring out, this is the trauma, very nice emotional trauma.
Nice. That reminds me of a verse in Rupa Goswami, in his summary of Krishna Vrindavan. He does say 1 year, but maybe he's got Navashisha Leelalam Gitahayana Gaga Vishkatanama Rasayana Ringed the Mandala Mandana Kate and the Modana Vatava the Goka the Chaitana. This is one of my favorite lines. So it says, Navashisha Leela, you know, this new baby Leela after it had passed 1 year. Gaga Vishkatanama Rasayana. He came and he gave these nectar filled names to Krishna Balaram. And then, you know, Ringa Namanda Dananda Naketa Namanda Mutapa the Goka the Chaitanya. That by his crawling, Ringa Namanda, decorating the courtyard of Nanda, Nanda Naketa, Madani Mutapa the Goka the Chaitanya. He enlivened all of the consciousness of all the residents of Gokula with his Madani Mutapa, with his sweet activities and his sweet attitude. So he goes on like that. But it wouldn't be right if I promised you one poem, so I'll give you just one poem. Especially since I don't like coming here. This is something from the Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And unique in North America, right? We have Krishna Balaram. It's such a wonderful manifestation of Krishna Balaram. So I'll give you one poem that.
That verse said it was a year?
Huh?
That verse meant a year? The one you just quoted?
Yes. Namishu Lila Langita Hayana. I think Hayana is 1 year. Anyway. So, this is from the chapter 21. I think I heard you're going to forge ahead past chapter 13 and into the 10th canto. So you're coming on this chapter 21. It's supposed to be the Bhagavad Gita chapter. All these beautiful verses there. So there's two verses at the beginning of the chapter. One is Kusumita Vanarada Shishmi Bringa, and then the famous one, Bharha Pihidam. And so I put both of those together into this little poem and mentions Balaram. Vrindavans, rivers, lakes, and hills ring out with charming hums and trills as flocks of birds and maddened bees rejoice among the flowering trees. To those idyllic woods and glens repairs Govinda with his friends, Shri Ram, and the cowherd boys to taste the most exquisite joys. And as they walk along the way, absorbed in herding and in play, Shri Krishna, beauty absolute, begins to blow his mystic flute. With pika plume upon his head, fragrant flower on each ear, he enters Brudge's woods with tread sublime, a dancer without peer. His golden yellow raiment glows, his garland reaches to his knees, and from his lips the nectar flows and fills his flute with melodies. As Krishna thus begins his day with friends who sing his glory sweet, he beautifies the forest way with fine impressions of his feet. Samadhi culminates in this, to always see the scene of bliss, within oneself and outside too. May Krishna give this boon to you. All glories to Shiva Prabhupada. Now you can all bless me. I didn't do that one.
I think you did.
I did. I know.
I've heard that.
That was fresh.
I did 2 months ago.
I know. That's what I'm going to ask you. Right, a few new ones.
That's the first one quoted is Dharmama.
Navashisha Leela.
Yes.
It's actually added as Dharmama. It's Ashtadasha Chanda Ashtadasha. It's a Krishna story. Even if you put it in this Dharmama book, it's
some Krishna. And one of the first ones he did,
so much so that it wasn't on the Krishna base.
You know, that was the first 11 or something, but then the Radha Krishna, that's what I mean. And he wouldn't get any digital files. So I had somebody type it in.
First 11
books that Krishna wrote. The Chaitanya Chandramata is not there. You won't find it in the Acharya base. But I have a key. Anyway, it's printed. It's printed, yeah. But
and someone did one with all the dark bodies.
To what? The Chaitanya Chandramata. Yes, so.
I don't think that's a good thing.